Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, the Metal Coop isn't here, unfortunately. He had to work. He had to bail out of this one. That's all right. He'll be back next week. In the meantime, I've got the third chair moving up to second chair. He's my my fellow clutch enthusiast and metal fan in his own right. The host of Source Material, heard every Monday on the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network, which is Jess Starcher. How do you do?
Doing good, doing real good. That intro there, we're going to hear a little bit more from that man, from old Neil. It'll be a fun night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Tonight we're going to be looking at Dunsmuir. Now, if you're wondering what happened to last week, just real quick to take care of some baggage. We were planning to do a show last week. I ran home from a family dinner to make it home in time for it. It was not going to be one of those where I was like, come on, guys, I'm going to make it. I was there. I was home. I was ready to go. However, Blog Talk Radio apparently blew up. Yeah, the rebels, they skimmed the trench, and they fired the proton torpedoes, and they done blew up the Blog Talk Radio.
And Blog Talk Rebels.
I'm calling it the Death Star. Get it? Anyway,
I get it. I get it.
Should I explain it further?
You're on a roll, sir. Continue.
Blog Talk Radio is the evil empire. No, anyway. according to Blog Talk Radio, they this server's like caught fire or some shit. That's why I'm making the joke.
I
literally overheated. And their engineers, who are, of course, monkeys, were working hard, banging the servers with wrenches.
It's better than serving the bangers.
Yes. the bottom line with the monkeys banging the switchboard was that there was not enough time to do the show. There was no Blog Talk Radio to be had last week, so... We are putting that show off to a later date. We're going to run twice in 1 week at the end of August. It'll be fine. For those of you who are just like, I just can't live without my Sugar Crisps or my Metal Hammer of Doom's opinion of Witherscape, you're getting it. It's just going to be a few weeks. Calm down. And stop eating Sugar Crisps because it's gross.
Yeah.
Tonight we are moving upward and onward. This is yet another clutch side project, as it were. This is Neil Fallon of Clutch. This is Vinny Appice from Black Sabbath. Brad Davis of Fu Manchu. And Dave Bone of Neil Fallon's side project, The Company Band. And they have put together a band called Dunsmuir. Self-titled album, Dunsmuir. But anyway, what did you think of Dunya, Mr. Doctor?
What's my name? Starcher, yeah. Dunsmere, man. Okay, first off, this super group, I don't know if you would call it that, but I mean, we got some great talent in regards to who's playing here. Obviously, Mr. Apish, however you say his last name, from Black Sabbath, the drummer from Black Sabbath. I mean, that's some, that's impressive. Fu Manchu, have you listened to much Fu Manchu before?
I have listened to Fu Manchu. As a matter of fact, they do a cover I really like. Take a drink, everyone.
What's the name of the cover? What do they do?
Oh, I want to say it's Godzilla. Here, let me look it up real quick.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Have you heard the Fu
Manchu
cover of Godzilla?
I think I have. Believe it or not, my introduction to Fu Manchu was at a Clutch concert. They were on tour, and I believe this was in Columbus when I got a chance to see them there at a local club. I can't even remember the club, but I remember they came on stage. This was back in it was probably 2000s, very early 2000s, and Boogie Van. I don't know if you've ever heard Boogie Van, but oh my gosh, they didn't grab my attention until they started playing that song, and it is probably still to this day my favorite Fu Manchu song. So what they say it's the bassist from Fu Manchu, because I can't remember if I said the bassist. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, that is what I clearly remember from Boogie Van, is the bass. the bass in that, the bass being played in that song. Such a great song. Now, as for the company band, just like you said, Neil did I think there's three albums out of the company band. Maybe two. Two or three.
I'll have that for you. Go on, though.
Okay. But Zombie Barricades, just a lot of great stuff from the company band. And, I was wondering about what it would be like to hear Neil in a different band. How would it come across? With the company band, I really enjoyed a lot of the stuff that they were putting out there. When you compare company band to Clutch, it seems like the company band was more lighthearted almost. And I really didn't catch a Clutch vibe from those guys. Neil was at the forefront, but it just didn't seem like, this was an exact duplicate of Clutch or anything like that. But there's a lot of great songs on that first album. And I think the second album, the third album, if I remember right, I listened to it a couple times. I wasn't too impressed. And that's somewhat of a super group too. If I remember correctly, there's members of, shit.
Okay, right now, got James A. Rhoda of Fireball Ministry.
Fireball Ministry. That's a great band.
Dave Bone, Fu Manchu bassist Brad Davis once again, and Jess Margera of CKY and Viking Skull.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They've had some CKY in there.
Discography, they've got one studio album called The Company Band, and then they have two EPs. One Sign ESPA and Pros and Cons.
Pros and Cons is the one I didn't like, I think. Go ahead.
My impression of a lot of these Clutch side projects, the ones that Neil Fallon's involved in,
mm-hmm.
I feel like Clutch, Clutch is always experimenting with music. They're experimenting with sound. They're doing interesting things. And I feel like, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But I feel like sometimes, Neil Fallon kind of walks into the studio and there they are, fiddling about. And he just was like, why can't we just, put out a rock album? And they're like, well, we are expect more from us. And so I think these side projects are him just, I just want to play straight up rock and roll and not worry about my fans.
Yeah.
And so the company band, Dunsmuir, are sort of extensions of his just wanting to rock out with his cock out and not have to worry about the standards of the average Clutch album. And I'll tell you, that's the impression I get from listening to Dunsmuir. which is not a bad album. It's just not especially memorable. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a rock and roll album with the familiar Clutch vocals, Neil Fallon vocals. It's not especially stonerific. It's not especially bluesy. It's just one might compare it just as much to a Buck Cherry, if you will.
No, oh, what the hell ever, dude. There's no way.
Buck
Don't
Cherry.
Even. Why did you even? You had to like horn that in there to bring them up. That's just ridiculous.
You might call them Buck Cherry Light.
Oh, what the fuck ever, man. People have turned off the podcast already. I was like, this motherfucker done lost his mind.
Well, I do love the cocaine. Love the cocaine. Mama can't wait. Anyway. No, they're just doing straight up rock and roll here. I couldn't even call them like a bar band, you know. They don't swing that way. They're just, they're just rocking out. I can see somewhat of a 70s vibe, but it's not stoner rock. They're just, it's just the late 70s, early 80s, pre-glam rock and roll. And that's there's nothing more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. I catch a lot of elements. There's a couple elements of some punk, and it's not heavy in any way. I mean, you're not coming away from a lot of these songs and all that's straight up punk rock. You could just tell it's influenced in some way, and you'll see a couple songs that you'll probably pick out what I'm talking about, fast paced stuff. But then there are some doom. There's a good bit of doom, I think, in this album, and that doesn't really. That doesn't make me too upset. I just like the Metal Coop himself. I'm a fan of doom. So if you slow it down and you get some real heavy riffs going, that makes me smile. So we'll catch a few of those songs here. I made a few notes on just about every song, but we'll talk a little bit more about it as we get into the album.
Well, here's what the album's about. The concept behind the lyrics is comprised of 10 tales from the survivors of a shipwreck. What had been intended as a scientific expedition, a three-hour tour, if you will.
This is concept album of Gilligan's Island. Now that'd be something.
Track one, Little Buddy, quickly deteriorates into a struggle to survive both the natural and supernatural world. So here we go. Let's not dilly-dally any further. Buck Cherry awaits everyone. I'm obsessed with them right now.
Waits for no man.
This is track one of Dunsmuir from the album Dunsmuir. This is Hung on the Rocks. Reason I get like a Bachman Turner Overdrive feeling from this.
I hear the cowbell there just for a few seconds right before you paused it. It's good rock and roll. It's a good way to open it up. I mean, this particular song in itself, I just read up a couple reviews today where I found out that this was a concept album, and anybody who knows me now on the Metal Hammer of Doom, I am a has brought me to a you know, an absolute love of concept albums. So when I first read that, I was like, oh man, this, that really, it kind of notches up the album for me. Because now all of a sudden I really want to get into the lyrics and see what story is being told. The unfortunate thing is that as of today, of course I didn't go deep searching, but I can't find much of anything other than the last song of this album that has a lyric video. But as for the rest of the songs, I couldn't find the lyrics. So I, you know, I just do them as best as I can by listening to it. Clearly this first Hung on the Rocks, I believe, is either referring to the ship itself or it's referring to somebody that's on the ship that's stuck. It's as to whether they would stay there. Go ahead.
I have the chorus made out. It goes, "Hung on the rocks, ain't no surprise. Pour me a drink and I'll tell you some lies." That's how it goes.
Where'd you get this? I mean, is this something you just pulled up or you got this memorized?
Don't pull that out of my ass. That's actually Love on the Rocks.
Oh.
I would have fucking
God damn it.
Oh, shit. You don't know your Neil Diamond?
I am so fucking gullible, dude. I if you catch me where I don't know what the hell you're talking about, I'll believe every fucking word you say. So that's exactly – I thought you were telling me the truth there for a second.
Nope. What is it, Neil Diamond? Good Jew.
Okay.
I am.
So anyway, have I ever seen what?
Have you ever seen The Jazz Singer?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, go watch The Jazz Singer. Make it a family film. I mean, the children will walk out after the first 5 minutes, but you should at least make them try to watch it.
All right then. How old are we talking here? When did this come out?
The Jazz Singer.
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
Yeah, I'm a couple years younger than you, so I'm not too far.
Might be before you were born. Jazz Singer, that's 1927. Wrong one. There we go, 1980.
Oh, 1980, okay.
Yeah,
1980. Neil
Diamond, huh? The 1927 classic, The Jazz Singer, which stars Neil Diamond, Laurence Olivier, Lucy Arnaz, and was co-directed by Richard Fleischer and Sidney J. Fury.
All right.
It resulted in three songs: America, Everywhere, Around the World.
I know that song. I know that song.
You know that one?
I do know that
Love
one.
On the Rocks, which we've already gone over, and Hello Again.
Clearly. Hello Again, I think I may have heard. But obviously not well enough to know my Neil Diamond, but I've caught a couple Neil Diamond songs and it's not too bad, but it certainly ain't no Dunsmuir.
No, it ain't no Buck Cherry either.
Twice, number two. I suggest we modify the drinking game right now.
All right. Speaking of number two, this is our second track of the night. This is Our Only Master of Puppets. Talking before about punk influence in the album, and there it is. A little bit of punk there for you. It's fine. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. It's one of those where the the gallop, the tempo. For me to appreciate something that fast, there has to be another element to it that I can really tap into, and that song is missing that element. So it's fine, but I don't think it's great.
Yeah, it's just there. It's I mean, other than to further the story, what you'll notice here, a lot of what we are used to with Neil Fallon and Clutch is Neil Fallon, again, being at the forefront of the songs with his lyrics. And I think a lot of, you know, his vocals are the primary fact of why I enjoy Clutch. Now, in Dunsmuir, just like you had mentioned, he's kind of said, well, hey, I just want to rock. Okay, let's play some good shit, and you know, I'll take a back seat. I'll sing the song, but, you know, as long as we're rocking, that's what we're looking for. And his vocals just doesn't seem as focused, I guess you should say, or as the main focus of this particular album, or this particular band, I should say. And I noticed that as the album goes on, it just feels like he takes a back seat and then lets that band play. And we'll see that as we continue.
In his vocals, the way there is in Clutch. We have said it before, and I will say it again. When Neil Fallon sings on a Clutch album, he doesn't sing, he preaches. He is trying to convince you of something. He is taking you for a ride someplace. And on this one, he's just singing. You know, it's like almost like a jam band, and he just wandered onto the stage all high and shit. You know, we're gonna play some Bachman Turner Overdrive. Oh, okay.
Here we go.
You know, just kind of our singer has got the projectile leprosy. Can anyone in the audience sing? And this asshole just sort of was like, who, me?
Here we go.
You know,
it's weird. It's weird hearing him sing. It is kind of strange to hear him, you know, pitch, just like you said, it's trying to change pitch or whatever. So it's definitely new and something that I'll tell you what, we'll go to track three and I'll kind of continue here.
This is the Bat. Parentheses are hungry tonight. That's probably one of my favorite songs on the album. This one sounds like a Clutch B-side. This is definitely one that just got cut from the Earth Rocker session.
Yeah, at the end of the album or something.
Yeah, and this was going to end up on a slow Hold to China 2, Electric Boogaloo. it sounds the most like a Clutch song out of all of these. It swings the way a Clutch song swings. It's got a very exciting rhythm to it. I actually feel a little bit of passion coming from Neil Fallon in his vocals, which I did not feel in the first two songs. Everything about it is great. I'll change my mind as we're listening to it if that is the case. But I think this is the best song on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah, you immediately messaged just after you had got the album off of wherever you got it from. I think it was iTunes or whatever.
You said
you immediately said, oh, the Bats is the shit. And of course, you know, we're sitting here, we can't find this thing anywhere at that point in time, because I think you can't find this on Spotify as far as I know as of right now. I haven't really checked to see if that's changed today, but yeah, I would agree with you. This is probably top three of the, in my mind, on the tracks for of this album for sure. You know, when I was talking about Neil's vocals, you know, no joke, as we get into this album, you're going to see that, at least in my opinion, this is kind of a, you know, this is not a blow your socks off album. Would you say that because we expected so much from Yeah, exactly. Because we're so that's all right. Because we're so used to what we hear from Neil Fallon on Clutch, does that taint this record in some way? Do you think does that influence your opinion in any way?
I try not to let it, to be honest with you. And we, by the way, it's Spotify is picking up that I have the album in my record collection. It's not officially on Spotify.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
In any case, I try not to let it because I don't, first of all, if I want to hear Clutch, I'll listen to Clutch. And I don't see the point in doing a side project if you're just going to do more of your same music. So I think I knew going into this that this was going to be something different than Clutch. I think I was almost a little disappointed that it wasn't more creative.
Okay.
You know, and it sounds like I'm putting the album down, but I'm not. I mean, I think divorced from any other expectations, it's a fine, solid rock album. But I think I know what Neil Fallon and the guys in Clutch are capable of, and it's like I said, it was almost like they just went in and they were like, we don't want to try very hard. We just want to rock out with a cock out. Take a drink. So
Buck Cherry, take another.
there we go. Yeah, now you're picking up what I'm putting down. I listened to it and I was like, yeah, that's okay. I bought the album because there was no other way to get it without, you know, trying to go through the thorn bush of torrents that are out there.
Yeah, sure. I understand that.
So I was like, oh, so I'll spend the $10 and I'll throw the band some money. And along the album, but I don't think if I didn't do this podcast, I don't think I would have bothered.
Yeah, if you would have had the chance to listen to it before, you don't think you would have spent the money. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't need to own this. I don't even know how many more listens this is going to get out of me. Now that after this podcast ends tonight, let's go ahead and move on to track 4. This is What Manner of Bliss.
You want to talk about going doom, slowing it down, making it, just kind of this groove metal sound. That is some that would be what I would picture Dunsmuir as. You've got Neil Fallon actually singing and them and the band playing something slow and doomy. This definitely feels like something that is unique to me. Granted, you could almost make a case saying that this was something that you don't get too many slow Clutch songs. So if we're going to continue to compare it to Clutch, which I hate to do that, but I'm basing it off of what I know. You don't get too much of that. So this is definitely, you can't say that this right here is a straight, a straight copy of, or a clone of a Clutch song in any way. So you say you feel Black Sabbath, huh?
I was definitely hearing some Doomy Sabbath on that one. Though I thought that one was actually better.
Yeah, I definitely like that track. I'll tell you that right now. That's one of my favorites.
Well, you were talking before about sort of the doom aspect, and then you were talking about how you like the doomy stuff. And as soon as I finished listening to that song, I'm just like, well, here we go.
I love it. Awesome. Oh man. Let me derail the podcast real quick. Okay. I'm derailing. I get to derail real quick just because, you know, I told you we have guests here that are visiting, and my wife has turned on the podcast just so they could hear me on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Well, actually I should say hear us. You guys get to hear Mark Radlich and myself. So I got to give a shout out to Chrissy and Lowell, who apparently are listening, and we want to thank you for tuning in for the 5 minutes you actually get to hear your name.
All right, listen, turn this bullshit off and go listen to Buck Cherry Buck, okay?
Oh, whatever, no, man.
I don't mean like Buck Cherry having intercourse. I mean Buck Cherry, the EP, Fuck, is what's the name. I'm not trying to be dirty. This is a family-friendly show. But
this is a family-friendly show that advocates an album called Fuck. This is a family-friendly
Look, I'm all about free speech, okay? And I don't think you should be afraid of words, Jesse Starcher. Don't try to hold me back from delivering the law, okay?
Get Robert Cooper on the phone. I need saved. Jeez, criminy.
I'm just saying, this podcast will be around. Turn it off and go listen to Buck Cherry, an EP that they put out a few years ago called Fuck. It'll change your life. And then come back for the rest of this podcast. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Sure. All right. Man.
I shared a couple of those songs in the master playlist, right?
I didn't know that. I didn't see that. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, buddy.
Was it – which one was it? I know you were all about Fist Fuck, and then there was another one that was I can't remember the other one.
That's what they say. Mark Cradlett, he's all about the Fist Fuck. Well, I think where I completely lost my mind was everyone must listen to this album right now was the opening track to Buck Cherry's EP entitled Fuck.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm not trying to be dirty.
It's free speech, folks. Jeez, criminy.
I'm just saying that's the name of the album. I can't help it. That's what they called it. The name of the song is called Somebody Fucked With Me. And it's fantastic. My God. Henry David Thoreau, the U.S. Constitution, and Buck Cherry, all on the same level. Word
fuck. Now, it is true that every single song has the word fuck in it on that album, right?
That is true.
Oh, I mean, as in the title. I'm not talking about each song with lyrics. The title has of each song has the word fuck in it. It's
for some of its past tense, some of its past present, some of its future tense, some of it's an adjective, some of it's an adverb.
Dunsmuir, save me now. Take us to track 4, please. Unless you got something burning else to say about Buck Cherry.
Oh, Jesse Starcher, you're a deceiver.
Demon man, you say for me, you declare for me, you
I liked that song the first time Iron Maiden did it, and it was called Number of the Beast.
I'm
sorry. I like that song. It's a good song. I enjoy it. I certainly, it got a bit of a swing to it. I liked the tempo. However, it's also that I couldn't get away from the fact that opening is Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah, I enjoy this song. I would say that one of the things that, you know, really sticks out is just the way that Neil lays down the cadence of this particular, I wouldn't say the chorus, but throughout the lyrics. I really get a sense here of him bringing elements of, now I wonder if he's writing these songs as well. I assume that he is, since he's the one singing them. This particular, the whole concept of this album sounds like something that would come straight out of his head. But yeah, I don't know if that, would you say so? I mean, would you think that he's the one writing these lyrics?
Yeah, I would tell you that a lot of this was probably, like I said, stuff that some of these guys worked on, you know, just sort of, you know, during some studio time where they weren't working on other stuff and sort of held on to them, like, hey, I've got this lick that I ripped off from Iron Maiden. I think you can use it for something.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil's like, oh, you know, I've been writing these short stories about a shipwreck, about a 3-hour tour, and a little boy named Gilligan, you know, a billionaire and his wife by, you know, the movie star, Professor Marianne.
This is all original material. I don't know why you guys are looking at me weird.
Neil, rolling over there. Have you heard my short story called Gilligan's Island? Get out of here with that. What are you doing?
We like you, Neil. We'll go ahead and go with you this time. Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah, I enjoyed this song. I mean, whether it be a ripoff of Iron Maiden or not, I liked it. I think it was a good addition to the. It's nothing that blows my socks off. I could tell you that much. But again, it was a decent addition to the album.
I hear what you're saying. I feel like what you're trying to tell the audience is that it's no Buck Cherry. Ah.
Jeez, do we have to do it every song? Seriously? Every song? No.
All right. All right, I'll put that joke to bed tonight. Go to bed, Buck Cherry. Go to bed, it's not Buck Cherry.
Please.
Screams like my son, it does. All right, this is track number 6. This is Ampersand and Madness. Song. It's solid rock.
Yeah. Not much else I can add to that. I think it's decent. It's about really all I can say. Nothing lyrically that's like, holy crap. And it's, you know, I struggle because I am comparing this to Clutch, and I shouldn't be doing that in any way. But I like to look and see how Neil is carrying himself differently in this album compared to what we see in Clutch, and why. Because, I mean, I know I'm going to reiterate this at the end, but I really don't think Neil belongs in a rock band such as this. I don't know why, and I know this is probably his project, and or at least a big portion of his idea, but it just something doesn't feel right to me.
He needs a big band backing him up. You know,
that's probably what it is.
I mean, let's talk about Jello Biafra for a moment.
Sure.
Yeah, he led a brass orchestra in New Orleans, and they played a bunch of songs. I played one on my birthday, "Land of a Thousand Dances." But you know, Jello Biafra, who you may remember, also sang in a band called Laud and the Dead Kennedys. He has a very distinctive voice, and he needs to be backed up by a band that can support him. And so he sounded good with a full brass orchestra behind him, because it was as powerful as he was. And Neil Fallon is one of those singers with a very distinctive voice. I hearken back to the days of a girl named Flavia, who didn't believe it was his real voice and therefore didn't like Robot Hive Exodus because she thought he was faking it. That's how distinctive his voice is.
Wow. You know,
still love you, Flavia. You're not listening. Anyway, but my point being, Clutch matches Neil Fallon energy-wise. They are as powerful as he is, even if it's just the three guys and they don't have, you know, the organ player there, and there's no harmonica. Even when it's stripped down, they are as powerful, as energetic, as full as he is. And so when you put them together, they form Voltron. No, when you put them together, you have this full frontal musical assault that that overpowers everything else. And not taking anything away from these musicians, but they're not supporting him. This is a badly put together cheerleading, you know, triangle. The bases are holding everybody up, but barely. You can totally see them sweating and having to shift their legs, and you know, there's a bit of swing going on, and you know, one girl almost slipped and fell on her head. That's what's happening here. It's not holding together structurally. It's, you know, it's a little wavy gravy.
It just feels off. It just feels kind of off. And what may be the problem is that me and you are so used to what we've listened to before with him in it. And that, it gets back to where I was saying, does it influence you? And just like you said, you're trying not to let it. I'm trying not to let it. I would love to have heard from somebody who has never heard Clutch before and actually heard Dunsmere and get their opinion. I'm sure there's thousands of them out there on the internet, but at some point I'm going to have to share this with somebody I know who's never heard Clutch before, and just to kind of see what their opinion is compared to my own.
Over, right?
Say what? Have company over? Actually, Lowell, I did make Lowell listen to a good bit of it last night. Not intentionally, but I had it on.
Here, what are you doing, man?
He's upstairs visiting. I don't want to bother the guy. He's had enough of me for about a week anyway.
I throw you the ball for a bit, you bumble into the side.
I know, just like fucking Charlie Brown. I know.
Right. Speaking of football, this is track 7, Orb of Empire.
Call from Peter Sloyman.
straight out of a company band.
There's actually a couple other ones on here that I was like, that belongs in the company band. It's just, it's so weird to not say, okay, that should go there and that should go there. And what the hell is this doing here? The only thing I can really say about this track is that it just seems like it brings the guitar to the forefront of this. This is the one song that I really, really paid attention to what the guitar was laying down. Nothing other than that, there's nothing else spectacular that I can say about the song. About you?
Well, like I said, first, as we're listening to it, I'm just like, this sounds like it got cut from a company band recording session. And they were like, well, let's, you know, or it was like there was some version of this song that just, you know, never got fully recorded in the studio. And they're just like, you know, we're running out of material here. What has anybody got? Well, we got this company band track we never did. And then they just, you know, and they restructured it and threw it on here.
Mm-hmm. I can't disagree with you, really. There's not much I can say that really, because it's him singing. It's the guitar. Let me ask you this. Just bring up another point of conversation. Some of the reviews that I was reading mentioned about how one of the obvious and clear sounds that you'll hear is it Dave Apice? Dave Apice? How is that his first name? Dave?
First of all, it's Vinny, but yes.
Vinny. There's a Dave in there somewhere, right?
Dave Bone from the company band.
Dave Bone. Okay. So they good night, girls. Have a good night, okay? Sleep well.
Good night, girl.
Mark says good night. Okay. Well, anyway, do you have a favorite drummer?
Let's say Vinny Paul, previously Pantera, currently of Hell Yeah.
Okay. All right. And is there a particular reason why he's your favorite?
His drumming makes me want to punch people in the face, but in a good way.
It's hard to put in words. the only time that a drummer ever stood out to me, you remember the band Biohazard?
From Brooklyn, New York, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Kevin Seinfeld of Oz fame in the house, bitch. Five blocks to the subway. It's just five blocks away. Five blocks to the subway. Motherfucker, I could do that any day. Yes, I remember Biohazard.
All right.
Punishment for all my sins. All right, go on.
Nice. Well, there was a drummer there. That was probably the first time I ever paid attention to the skill of the drummer. Okay. And a lot of times, you know, that guy blew me away. Whoever that guy was, I just remember he was the drummer from Biohazard. I absolutely loved him. I was telling everybody, oh my gosh, you got to hear this guy. But now I can't remember his fucking name. So, but anyway, it was funny just to read how people were, you know, so excited that the drummer from, Black Sabbath, well, blanked on the name. The drummer from Black Sabbath was now part of this band. And granted, I can hear him drumming in the background, but there's nothing to me that goes, holy crap, this guy is so skilled. Now, he's got a legacy behind him. I mean, Black Sabbath is nothing to sneeze at, but I mean, I'm just curious. So I'm trying to get a feeling as to where or how I should measure my appreciation for drummers. And you're saying Vinnie Paul, and it's about all about the emotion of wanting to punch somebody in the face. So I will take that as an answer and an advisement as the next time I evaluate a drummer.
I want to take a break from this, and I just want to go back to the power of Clutch for a moment and how passionately Neil Fallon sings and how he's backed up appropriately by talented musicians. This is now the outro music for almost all of our other podcasts, but it's become like there's not a day that goes by that I don't play it at some point. And a lot of times I'll play it because it's just so amazing. But it's a great example of what I mean of a band keeping up with the singer. This is actually their cover of a song they come out to live. This is We Need Money. Powerful is that collection of sounds compared to what we're getting on this album.
I know, man. You're talking about, let's see,
money.
If you picked out, yeah, exactly. If you picked out each, if you picked out each instrument in there, you would, if you counted each one, you'd be able to easily do the math and figure out exactly what we're talking about. We had some bongos or hand drums, whatever the hell those things are called. We had the organ going, which, by the way, I wanted to say this earlier when you were talking about, you know, to tie it in with, you know, Neil Fallon preaching. With that aspect of his lyricism and the way he delivers lyrics, if you put an organ behind it, you're going to feel like you're fucking at church. That's just the way it feels. And when he belongs with something that has an organ or I wouldn't say a synthesizer, but an organ or somebody playing something like that.
Oh, no. He needs an old black man sitting on a pipe organ that hasn't been dusted and God knows how long it's the keys up low smoke.
That would be fucking great, man. That would be fucking awesome.
Get the fuck out of here.
But when you hear that and compare it to what we're listening to now, he belongs in that song. He belongs with everybody that's playing around him. He's got fucking
right.
He's got backup singers in that fucking song. And it's just tremendous.
Neil Fallon's got soul.
That's
you
right.
Know, I think that's, you know, if I could just put a fine, you know, fine touch to it, if I had to describe Clutch really in one word, it's not stoner rock. It's soul.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm.
It's just absolute soul. You know, it's like they took Motown and said, we're gonna metalize some Motown. And that became Clutch. It's metal Motown. And, you know, for a white boy with a beard from Baltimore who looks like he burns black people, not things like them, he's got more soul than I'll put him up against the top 10 R&B artists in America right now and will not back away from that statement.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. That's the apt description. I think that fits perfectly.
And here's the thing. They're not – Dunsmuir doesn't capture the soul that he puts out there. It's like we're not getting the full Neil Fallon effect. with Dunsmuir. This is very much Neil Fallon in a box. He's not allowed to be himself with this, is probably what I'm walking away feeling.
Yeah, and you know, he's probably very happy with what he's done with these guys. I think that he's very glad that he had the chance to sit down and play some hardcore rock and roll and sing it, but it's just not where he belongs. And I'd hate to, I don't know if I could be the one to tell him that, because I love the guy so much, and I know I've gushed about him before on here, and you've mocked me and said you should not believe everything that you hear coming from his mouth or believe he is the God of all gods. But anyway, he just doesn't belong. But, you know, what are we in here? Are we at track 10 or not track 10? We're at like track 6 or 7.
No,
track 8.
You'll get there eventually. Track 8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. All right. So we're at track 8. And unfortunately, folks, our decisions are not going to change. These next three tracks are not going to certainly sway us in any different direction. What you've heard so far is what you're going to get, in my opinion.
All right. So here it is. This is Church of the Tooth, track 8.
Felt the Sabbath in this one as well?
Yes, specifically Black Sabbath 13.
Here's my eight words worth of a note here, which was slow it on down and do me, baby.
I would prefer not to be doomed.
I love it. I think this is a fun one. Even though it's nice and slow, I enjoy it. I did. This is probably another one of the top. I think this rounds out my top three on this album. Church of the Tooth makes it.
Ugh. I couldn't.
I love hearing your utter disgust. It pleases me.
I couldn't take it, man. I as we're listening to it, I'm just like, when is this track over? Oh wait, I run this podcast now.
Now.
And we're done here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And fuck you. Yeah, I wasn't into it. I mean, look, let me say this, and I say this a lot on the movie podcast. I could not like something, but it'd still be sound. You know, something like can be a good movie that I just didn't find entertaining. Since something could be, you know, something could be bad, but it, you know, but it's so bad it's good, or you know, or it might in fact be terrible, but I might still enjoy it in like an ironic way. You know, it's so silly to me that, you know, I'm into it.
Yeah.
And that met neither of those criteria.
So it's a moving on song. I hear you.
Yeah. All right. So this, speaking of moving on, this is track 9. This is The Gate.
Right before the end of the album, which is track 10, and it's I honestly would say that this is probably my least favorite off of here. I just wasn't impressed in any way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's happening with me. Like, I'm enjoying the podcast itself. I'm enjoying the discussion. I'm losing interest in the album. And it's only 10 tracks long.
It happens, and that's it, you get. I don't know if you would call it a case of the samesies. It's just that the songs don't really capture my attention as much as some of the other songs at the beginning of this album did.
Yeah, I'm not into it. You know, that's the bottom line. Is I'm waiting for something. I mean, like I said, we sort of peaked early with the back. And it never quite got back to that level again. You know, I don't like doom, so I'm in even a worse place than you might be with this. You've at least heard a track or two since then that tickled your fancy. I haven't. I'm like, when does this get better?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. Let's get to the end here. This is track 10, our last track of the night. This is Crawling Chaos.
Did you get a chance to hear that song when it was dropped before the album released?
No.
Okay. This was the single, I guess, that they released a lyric video to on YouTube. So this kind of got me prepped for what was about to come. You know, I was listening to it like, okay, here we go. Dunsmuir. Let's see what the sound is. Now, I don't know if this particular song captures what this album is about or what you're going to hear. It's an okay song, but it's not anything where I immediately – I know if I hear a good Clutch song or if I hear a good song that I enjoy, period, the first thing I'm probably going to do is bug you and Robert and say, you know, check this out. It's on Spotify or check this out. It's on YouTube. And when I first heard this, I felt obligated to share it because we're going to cover the album at some point. And again, it's Neil Fallon. But this was not something that I shared because I thought it was awesome. It didn't grab me as a single that was like, oh, here we go. Oh, finally, we get to hear this Dunsmuir. And oh, it's just everything that I was expecting. I'm sorry. That's just not how it grabbed me. So it... And it's a fucking song about volcanoes. I think the lyrics, if you listen to the lyrics, I'm fairly certain. Again, I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but I swear that what he does throughout this song is he names a volcano and then he gives you like the layman's term the English term as to what that volcano means. It's just strange to hear him shout these fucking volcano names and then tell you what it means. And then he proceeds to sing a song about it. It's just a fucking song about volcanoes. Now, granted, it's the one thing that you get with Clutch that is a very, you feel the influence here in Dunsmuir is the whole Clutch has a great way of putting you in a setting and tell a story of something that occurs in that particular song. All right. And 19th century shipwreck. Oh, that's Clutch's wheelhouse. Now I know I sent something to you talking about Big News 3. And if anybody has the chance, I think it's still unreleased. I don't believe they've released that ever on an album, but it's a B-side that you can catch on YouTube pretty easily. And it is specifically a song about a shipwreck and a guy who, you know, pretty much gets two people get shipwrecked, and anyway, it's a great story. It's got the elements of what you see in this particular album. So we have all this supposed supernatural shit that's going on, and back in the 19th century, you didn't know if you were shipwrecked on an island, an unknown island, you didn't know what the hell was going on. And here we got these. There's probably tribes that live on this island. You have totally look different from you, believe in different gods. You got volcanoes and okay, yeah, that's a cool concept. The delivery on this album is I wasn't feeling it. Maybe give me another 3 or 4 listens. I might change my opinion. You want to go ahead and get it before I go further? You want to talk anything else about Crawling Chaos? You want to get into final thoughts?
No, I'm done.
He's he's struggling to stay awake, folks. Dunsmuir has tried to put him to sleep, and he is just about to succumb, and he's going to drift off to dreamland.
No, in all honesty, it really comes down to I'm not going to sit here and try to just make up stuff to talk about. You know, sometimes we have stuff to talk about. Sometimes we use our time to try to help Johnny Lonely Hearts over there, Robert Cooper, with his love life. Sometimes we got to have dad talk.
That's right.
The only thing I can tell you is that I'm so obsessed with Clutch's cover of We Need Money that I'll start singing it in the car, and I won't let my daughter out of the car until she tells me what we need.
Dad's torturing daughters. We do that plenty here at the Starcher household. Don't you worry.
We'll have to
share stories.
It's so funny because like, I'll be like, Lily, what do we need? And she's like, just please stop. I just want to get out of the car. It's hot. I just got done with dance or, you know, I'm just done with swimming. I'm tired. I want to go in the house. And I'm like, no, I refuse to let you out of this hot car. Tell me what we need.
You answer my question. Now, what do we need?
Play along with my malarkey or suffer.
Oh, goodness.
And she'll just, and it's so funny because, like, she put no soul into it at all. She's like the anti-Neil Fallon. You know, like, Lily, what do we need? And she, like, blinks twice at me, and she just goes, money.
Unlock the doors. There you go. You can get out now.
Yeah. Followed by Sam the Eagle. Just
yeah.
So dispassionate about the whole operation. So, I really don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Well, go ahead. I'll go ahead and give you my rating here. I'll give it. Okay. Concept album. I told you. Concept album gets points for me. Okay. I have to give them points for that. Neil Fallon has my undying devotion as a singer, a preacher, whatever you want to say. Okay. So you get, that's another point. As to whether he works well in Dunsmuir, as I've said, I think that's up for debate. I don't think, in my opinion, this is where a man of his talents belong. And I know it just by what you said earlier, it sounds like you agree. So as for a rating, I'll do my thumbs up, thumbs down, and I'm going to give it a thumbs up with a little asterisk, as in it states, I didn't hate it. And I didn't hate it. I think this is something I could put on and have no problem saying, okay, I got to skip that track, skip that track. There isn't a song that I hate on here. It's just they're there. It's new. It's not really refreshing, but it's new. It's there. And I could listen to it without hating it. So there you go. Thumbs up for me.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a B-. It's fun. It's technically – I mean, well, like I said, I can't – just because I'm not into it doesn't mean it's a bad album. It's technically perfect. I don't, you know, as we would say on the metal, on the movie review podcast, you know, it's not amateur night. You know, a boom mic isn't in the shot or anything. It's not poorly edited, as we say in the film business. I mean, no, it's not mixed poorly. It's not tinny. You know, like when we famously reviewed Saint Anger on here, and we talked about how poorly mixed that album is.
Bad news. Lars's Snare.
Yeah, well,
coming to haunt you in your dreams, nightmares.
So, like I said, everything is where it needs to be. It's just not very interesting. So, B-. You know?
All right.
I would say it's average. Average. So that brings us to the conclusion of this episode of the Metal Hammer of Duke. last week there was no show because of shenanigans. Next week we will be reviewing, we'll be doing it on Wednesday, August 10th, because that's when Cooper is not working. So we'll be looking at the new solo album. She has since left Nightwish, and she's on her own, doing her own thing.
There may be some competition. I'm going to have to do a little bit of Wikipedia research to find out if she's in any way, shape, or form going to be in competition with Christina as to, you know, who I'm going to potentially ask to marry me 1,000 times.
So Tarsha, the Shadow Self, next week. We'll also be bringing back Cheap Seats. That's coming back Thursday, so stay tuned for that. Our Suicide Squad review will be on Tuesday. Once again, the critics hate it. I've seen some reviews online by non-critics, by fans that got to see early screenings, and they all liked it. I'm hearing it's a bit of a mess. I will reserve judgment until I see it myself. The following week, we'll be reviewing Jekyll with a Y on August 16th, Pete's Dragon on August 17th, and the Cheap Seats will be on Thursday. The following week after that, we got Source Material. By the way, the same week we do Suicide Squad, we'll also be doing a live Source Material talk about Harley Quinn in the new 52, which is now the old 52. Source Material, we're doing He-Man comics. We've got Sabaton, The Last Stand on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we say goodbye to summer. Goodbye, summer! And then on Thursday, we got more Cheap Seats. The following week, we got Running Wild on Tuesday, August 30. The old pirate metal, Rapid Foray, that's the name of the album. We're going to be making up from the lost show of last week. Witherscape, the Northern Sanctuary. We'll finally get to it in cheap seats on Thursday. Starting in September, now, we've got Tuesday, September 6th, is the Devin Townsend Project, Transcendent. Cheap seats will be on Wednesday. And then me and my man, Jesse Starcher, we're going to be doing a joint jam for 4 weeks in the month of September. We're going to be bringing it's going to be Alan Moore month. Jesse Starcher is going to talk to you about the comic book. I'm going to talk to you about the movie, and we're going to do it the same podcast. So it's kind of a source material, long road to ruin joint. And I'm not saying I might actually get to read all these comic books, but I will talk about the movie.
You are so lucky. I'll tell you that right now, because From Hell by Alan Moore can kiss my ass.
Yeah, I brought The Watchmen to work, and I haven't even sat down to read it yet.
Dude,
so.
I have fucking spent way more than 2 hours just getting through five chapters of this 16-chapter epic of From Hell. And you get to watch the movie, and you get the shit all over the movie, too. And I swear, dude, this may be the first ever comic book that I have to cheat and get, like, fucking Cribs notes or something. Because I have never seen anything like this before in my life. And it is a very, very large undertaking for me. So, and you're griping about Watchmen. I've got fucking From Hell is like three of Watchmen. It's insane.
Well, for those of you interested, September 8th, Jesse Starcher and I will be doing a compare and contrast along with a cast of thousands for The Watchmen. The following, and these are all going to be at 9:30, the same time as all of our other podcasts. The following week, September 15th, we'll be looking at The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The week after that is V for Vendetta, and then, yes, we will be ending one more month with From Hell.
That's how it's going to fucking feel.
In the meantime, what are we going to be doing on the Metal Hammer of Doom? Like I said, the Devin Townsend Project. KMFDM rocks Milestones Reloaded 2016. That gets me out of having to do an actual KMFDM retrospective. We'll just review that album that they're putting out, and that'll take care of that. September 20th, we got the new Brujeria. I've heard a new track off of it about Donald Trump. It's fan-fucking-tastic.
Oh, boy.
And then September 27th is Every Time I Die, Low Teen. So we got plenty of shows coming up. We got we're going to skip the week of October 4th because I'll be at Clutch. But there'll be movie reviews. We got reviews of the new Luke Cage show that's dropping on Netflix. We got Epica coming up. We've got a new Metallica album. We've got a new Korn album. We've got a new Testament, Opeth, Anthra. And then in November, we've got a couple of turkeys that we'll be reviewing on November 15th. I'm jumping in. I gave the order. I must land in on your guys' territory. On November 15th, we're going to be reviewing Anthrax Stomp 442 because November is Turkey Month. And then the other turkey we're going to review on November 22nd is Poison. Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Oh, boy.
So,
I look forward to that.
And then on November 29th, we got the new Meshuggah. So it's we are loaded for bear from now till November. I hope you'll stay with us here on the Rattlage and Broadcasting Network because we enjoy bringing these album reviews to you. I really enjoy doing this podcast. It's one of the few that doesn't make me want to punch somebody when it's over. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy doing it. All right, Jesse Starcher, I did most of your plugs for you. What do you got to say for yourself?
You did, man. Well, I'll plug my previous episode of Source Material just dropped last night. I had the distinction to go to the River City Comic Con right here, Marietta, Ohio, July 24th, 2016. And I brought on a few guys that went with me. One, Ronnie Adams, my good buddy Justin Thomas, and Stephen Marsh were all there with me. And we discussed everything that we saw, all the fun stuff that we did, and I got to talk to some great exhibitors who gave me about 1 to 2 minute interview, and I kind of interspersed them in. So, if folks, if you like to go to cons, granted, San Diego Comic-Con, well, come on. You know what's happening there. What about these little guys down here in our little town? We just had a good time talking about it. So if you guys get a chance, you want to listen to it, maybe support some of the people that – some of the vendors, exhibitors that talked on there. I tagged every single one of them on the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Facebook page, and there was some great stuff there. So check it out. You were asking about Ronnie Adams and the Screamy Boy podcast. I do understand that he has – I know he has a bunch of episodes in the can. The man is in the midst of retooling. He is trying to get together – they don't want to focus on movies anymore, not just movies. So they're kind of branching out. So we've got some – I know that they have some great podcasts that are ready to go. It's just a matter of whenever Ronnie Adams wants to drop them, he's definitely going to let us know. So keep an eye out there. Most likely Saturdays here on the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network are not going to be empty too much longer. So other than that, I think that's about it. I don't really have anything else that I could think of off the top of my head. Like I said, you did most of my plugs for me. We're going to do Suicide Squad. Look forward to it.
All right. For the missing Robert Cooper, Power Trooper, he'll be back with us next week. For the father of the year, Jesse Starcher, and all of his company that he's keeping at the house, myself, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. Neil, come back to us. We love you, Neil. Come back to Clutch where you belong. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom right here on the Rattlers Broadcasting Network. Be well, be safe, and behave.